Morning, everyone. Nice to see you all this morning. I hope you're here quite lively and awake. Not that awake. I'll wake you up in a little while. Everyone's fine. Girls are back. Yeah. We're all good. Nice to see you all. Hello, we've got Michael Barber on Zoom. Nice to see you, Michael Barber. Let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you for bringing us together again this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather, to worship you, to hear your word. Father, would you bless this time to us? May we know your presence with us. May we hear you speak to us. We just lift this service to you and pray that everything that's said and done here will be to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to start with a song.
Yeah.
All things quiet and beautiful. And we have got quiet. It wasn't quiet when I woke up this morning, but it's quiet now. Today. There's birthdays. No, there's not. It's Amy's birthday. And Iris's birthday. That's time, that'll stop it.
Now it's your birthday.
Okay. Any other birthdays? We'll just do birthdays and then we'll come back to family news, just because we're brought it up. So is it Queenie, Iris, me? Okay.
Sharing good news. We've got wheels. After 10 weeks, we've got wheels. And son's back at school, but he's still very, very tired.
Any other good news? Any other good things that God's given to us? Go on. Okay, so we're going to pray and we're going to thank God for all the good things that he's given to us. We've heard about Margaret and Brian's car, finally. And their son being back at school, birthdays, Maureen's baby being home. Not Maureen's baby. Maureen's great-granddaughter being home. Is there anything else that anyone wants to thank God for this morning? No? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all the good things that you give to us. Father, you give us so much and sometimes we forget. And we thank you for the everyday stuff. We thank you for the sunshine, for roofs over our head, for food and drink, things that we take for granted. And we thank you for the special things, for families, for health and recovery for those who have been in hospital. Thank you for birthdays for those of us that are celebrating another year. Thank you for so many things that you give to us, Lord. We praise you for that. And we thank you for giving us Jesus. We thank you for the love that you've shown to us through him. Thank you, in Jesus' name. And we're going to sing a couple of Thanksgiving choruses. We're going to sing, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And then we're going to sing, Alleluia, 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 and do all the standing up. I'll talk you through that when we get to it. No, if you pause between them and we'll sort out.
I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna be a long time.
Let's sing Hallelujah. Girls, can you put that down and come and sit on here? We need to even things out a bit. We're a bit lopsided today. That's it, okay.
Sitting down bit.
I can't remember how you're doing now. Give the alleluia, you're thanking the Lord. And when it's your bit, you stand up. So right now, we start off with alleluia, so this side can sit down. If you don't want to keep standing up and down, just sit down and lift your hands up when it's your turn. latterly was the closest. It's a word. It just randomly stuck in there. One more question. And this one's a game.
Okay.
We'll play hangman. So.
S.
Right.
Oh, it hasn't got S.
Trick one, it, just to make it awkward, you're not allowed to use any of those letters. M, G, S, or H. You're not allowed to use.
Does it contain those letters?
It does contain those letters, but I'm not telling you where they go.
That's right.
How many letters have we got, Helen? How many letters in the word?
Loads. It's a sentence. It's the same.
Right, okay.
It makes it a bit easier. Sorry,
I surrender.
Zoom, I don't think you can see it.
I can join Zoom on my phone and then come up to the board.
You can do that if you want, Kate. Right, give me a letter. Someone shout out a letter.
N.
That was a good one.
Okay.
A double N. Double N?
Yes, I didn't say the word.
I'm going to have to put a little teeny tiny
hangman
at the bottom. There's no P.
L.
Okay, Natalie.
A.
There's always lots of these. I apologise to the people on Zoom. I didn't think this out very well. R.
Why?
Oh, we're getting somewhere now.
C.
C and an H. Yeah.
The H up there as well.
Oh, H was one of the ones I wasn't going to use.
Oh.
B. Sorry?
B.
I'm not using G.
Oh, I
am
G. The entire alphabet.
O. There is no O. But we haven't actually got many letters on that.
I.
I. But stand down there, okay? I'm sure you can. Not using S. Can you guess what it is yet? Oh, I missed an H. Sorry.
I thought you weren't using nature.
I was everything.
You weren't using energy.
I wasn't using nature. No, I was using
energy.
We're going to have to leave it.
We got there.
Meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless.
It's not meaningless.
And we got there. Our man didn't even get anywhere near the scaffold. You beat me, even without using those weapons. We want to make things mean something, don't we? Sorry, Natalie?
We use the hate when we're
supposed to. We did use the hate when we weren't supposed to. We want to make things mean something, don't we? Whether it's words or whether it's hangman. What's the famous answer to life, the universe, and everything? 42,
isn't it?
42. It is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I've never watched it. It's the only thing I know about it. But 42 is the answer for life, the universe, and everything. Do you know where that comes from? Do you know where he gets 42 from?
What was the computer? Was it the robot that was doing it?
Yeah, but where did the author? Why did the author think 42 would be a good answer?
I don't know.
We also read the book. No, there's loads of theories about that. People are fascinated by the idea of where he got this number from, and they make meanings from it. And he says it was just a random number. There is no meaning to it. So many people go round and round in complicated circles trying to make meaning out of something that doesn't really mean anything. But we always feel that there should be meaning. Even if Douglas Adams doesn't understand it, even if it's a subconscious decision, there should be a reason behind everything. Otherwise we wouldn't even bother trying to find out. And of course, the Bible would point us to that meaning as being given by God. We'll come back to that in a minute, but let's sing again. And we're going to think completely unseasonably about the way God works in the world and the things that he gives us. We plough the fields and scatter in the middle of winter.
We plough the field and scatter the good seed on the land, and it is and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the water
There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to love. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its prime. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Amen.
For some people, this is a time of joy,
of birth, of planting.
For some, it's a more difficult time. So we bring all of our times to God in prayer. As we've come with our thanksgiving, let's come with our difficulties and our requests for help. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Has anyone filled in the... We have our little slips at the back if anyone has any prayer requests. No? Can we have our prayer box up then, please, Dad? We'll pray together for those items on there. Father, we bring to you these people that we know and love. People that are on our list here and the people that are in our hearts. We lift to you. Lord, each of them needs you in a special way. And I just pray that you would touch their lives, bring healing, bring refreshment, build them up. Lord, hold them in your hands. Father, and I just thank you that we can entrust them to you.
Yes.
Father, we pray for world situations that also need you to act. Lord, we pray for those countries where there is war and hunger and greed, where people are starving. We think especially of the Yemen, Afghanistan, Somalia, Ethiopia, and the situation in the Ukraine. Lord, would you bring peace? Would you bring provision? Would you bring hope to the people there? Father, we pray for those in leadership over us, for those in our government, that your will be done among them, that they might follow your paths, your ways in what they do, in the way that they lead us. Lord, we pray for the Queen today, especially 70 years since she came on the throne, Lord, and I just pray that you would bless her. I thank you for her faithfulness and her witness throughout her life, and pray that you would continue to bless her. Lord, we pray for the defeat of the COVID virus throughout the world. Lord, we rejoice that things are starting to get back to normal here. But there's still so much around and there's so much effect on people's lives. And we just pray that that would come to an end here and throughout the world. Lord, we lift all of these things to you. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing again. And we're going to sing Blessed Be Your Name. I think this is one on YouTube, isn't it? Okay. So we're continuing our journey through the books of the Bible today with the book of Ecclesiastes. Now we need to know as we come to this that this book presents an alternative view to some extent to other teachings in the Bible. So I wouldn't recommend that you read it on its own or that you listen to this sermon on its own, because the picture it gives needs to be balanced out by other teachings. I trust if you're here, you're at least aware that there is other teaching in the Bible. You've all been here before. So we're going to take the book today as it is, in the acceptance that elsewhere in the Bible, in past sermons and in the sermons of coming weeks, we may find a different view. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book that tries to make meaning out of life. Because like us, the writer feels that there should be meaning. But like the 42 of Douglas Adams, it just doesn't seem to make sense. So the writer of Ecclesiastes tries lots of ways to try to find meaning in his life. He starts by exploring wisdom, what we spoke about last week. It promises the answers to everything. Surely the more I know, the more I think about, the better I will understand the world and be able to control it. But like our hangman puzzle, and like the BFG, it turns out that there's some bits missing. You need the context to understand everything, and God is the one who holds all wisdom, and he hasn't told us everything. We can never quite get to the bottom of how the world works. So the writer goes the other way and tries folly. He tries living for pleasure, throwing himself into the pursuit of money and luxury. And he looks at everything he's achieved and says, it still doesn't mean anything. There's a quote attributed to the singer Prince. He was asked if he didn't want to write another Purple Rain. And his answer was, I've been to the top, there's nothing there. He found that all his achievements were empty. And that was the finding of the writer of Ecclesiastes. And he sings this because he's acutely aware of the promise of death. It's worth noting that this book, like the majority of the wisdom writings, focuses on this life. It doesn't say very much about resurrection. That's just not what it was written for. Let's not read too much into that. But all we know in this life, all we do, all we achieve, will come to an end. What we own will be left behind for someone else. It's not the cheeriest of books, is it? We'll try to unpack some of the positives of it in a moment. I just want to say one thing first. I love this book. As someone who's struggled with depression at times, as someone who's recently experienced massive grief, this book is a breath of fresh air to me. It speaks my language. It doesn't try to jolly me up to make me feel better. It says life sucks. And sometimes that's true. I wrote a sermon on Ecclesiastes the week after I lost my husband. I'm not going to preach it to you because I would get a bit too emotional, but it was a form of therapy for me to read something that really seemed to understand how I felt. And in trying to find something positive out of it, I found possibilities for hope, even in those darkest of times. It doesn't offer comfort, it doesn't offer happiness, it offers understanding and maybe just a glimmer of hope. Our reading this morning is one of the most famous passages from this book, A Time for Everything. And perhaps we use this in church more than the rest of it because we think it's more one of the more positive passages. It speaks of birth, planting, building, laughing, as well as the death, uprooting, breaking and mourning. And we like to speak about those things, don't we? We don't want to think about the sad ones. The writer does two things in this first poem that we need to note. Firstly, he acknowledges that all of this is a part of life. He doesn't say these are the good things and these are the bad things. He doesn't even put all of what we would think of as positives on one side and all the negatives on the other. Of birth and death, we'd see birth as a cause for celebration and death a cause for sadness. Of planting and uprooting, we might see planting as more positive. But there are times, every gardener knows, that uprooting is just as necessary. Do you remember, though, those parables that I talked about last week? The birth and death parallels the plant and uproot. To start something and to finish it are equally valid, however that makes us feel. And the second thing the writer does is to actually suggest that these times are in God's control. And that adds to his feeling of meaninglessness, of emptiness. God has set all these times, but we can't know or understand them. Perhaps if we could make more meaning. I can empathize with that. Don't we all want to know the future? Even something as simple as the weather forecast. It's going to be sunny today and then raining for the rest of the week. We've had it out in the sunshine today, haven't we? It's going to be really cold tomorrow. We'd better get our coats out. It gives us a measure of control, a measure of order to our world. We can do what we have to do at the appropriate time. Part of our problem for the last 2 years has been the not knowing from one week to the next what's going to happen. We've lived with this real sense of uncertainty. this real sense of, if I plan something, COVID is going to throw a spanner in the works, so what's the point? We've lived in the world of the writer here. We've lived in the world where decisions are made by a higher power, sometimes incomprehensible decisions for reasons that we don't quite understand. We've lived in that world where our actions have been determined by someone that we can only trust has got our best interests at heart. And like the writer here, sometimes we're not even sure of that. We've lived in a world where we've been uncertain about what next week will hold, trying to make plans but feeling that it's probably out of our hands and our plans may come to nothing. We've lived in a world where we've thought, if only I knew. And that's the feeling of the writer. What's the point? We don't know. And when we look back, we can see the times. We can see what should have been significant. And that often comes with a feeling of regret. We missed the time of planting. We were so busy weeping that we forgot to love. We thought we could embrace later. We spoke when we should have been silent. We were silent when we should have spoken. If only we'd known. But God is the only one who knows. And so we feel the sadness and the emptiness of the writer of Ecclesiastes when those opportunities for something meaningful in his life have passed him by. The recurring phrase throughout the book is one that's well known. Meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Or vanity, vanity, all is vanity if you're in the King James. And we've explored that meaninglessness of life in the light of our lack of understanding of the times and the ultimate finality of death. But there's another theme woven throughout the book, and it's this. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. For this writer, God is great, awesome, unknowable, incomprehensible. We can't understand him or what he does. We can't understand why life works the way it works. We can't grasp his wisdom or see or control our future. But his total faith is in this God who's given us the present. There used to be a phrase going around some years ago that I haven't seen for a while, but it echoes the truth of Ecclesiastes when it says, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, today's a gift. That's why it's called the present. The hope of Ecclesiastes isn't found in the future, it's found in the now. And sometimes we need to hear that. I've been in many counselling sessions over the years, read a few self-help books, seen some stuff online. And a big thing in dealing with mental health seems to be the practice of mindfulness, of awareness, of living in the moment. I've had several conversations this week with different people. And over again, we've come back to this sense that in numerous situations, people need to hear this message to enjoy God's gift. In the presence. We can live in the past with the what ifs, the might have beens, the hurt, the regret, all the nostalgia. It doesn't bring us either meaning or happiness. We can live in the future with the anxiety and uncertainty of what might happen to our health, our job, our family. That doesn't bring us meaning either. It has no power to prevent the bad stuff or to enable us to make the most of the good. It leads us to the cynicism of the writer of Ecclesiastes. What's the point? But right here, right now, we are experiencing God's gift. Right here, right now, we are safe. We are warm, I hope. We're among friends. We're in the presence of God. This is God's gift. When we eat and drink, we acknowledge that these are gifts from God. We're allowed to enjoy them. Even if things in our lives are not going great, We can enjoy the gifts that God has given us. Sometimes it's hard to do that. But sometimes we take these things for granted. If you've struggled to feed yourself and your family, you don't take that food for granted. If you've grown up where there's no clean water, you recognise that that water is a gift. If you've worked in a demoralising, unsatisfying, dead-end job, you realise the immense gift of being able to find satisfaction in your work. These things are simple things that transform the meaningless cycle of life into a life of gratitude and worship. This, for the writer of Ecclesiastes, is the only answer. Meaning can't be found in knowledge or in pursuit of pleasure or in wealth and material gains. The book is written from the point of view of King Solomon, who had more of these than anyone else. He himself had been to the top and there was nothing there. But happiness can be found in gratitude for the simple gifts God has given. In work, in eating and drinking, in friendship, in doing good, in remembering God. Yes, we try to understand the times. We try to speak at the time for speaking and plant at the time for planting. But most of all, we take each day as it's given to us, as a blessing for God, and use it for our hope and his glory. I say again as I finish, this isn't the only attitude of the Bible, but it is an attitude that's worth considering. And we mustn't forget that, unlike this writer, we do have hope for the future. We do have the hope of resurrection, a time when we will understand fully, when we will see God face to face. We have that hope in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this book. I want to thank you that your word doesn't just present life as a bed of roses, but acknowledges that there are times when it all seems wrong and empty. I want to thank you for the way it stands alongside me when I feel that. And Lord, I want to thank you for the hope that it does give. Help us to see your gifts in the world around us. Help us to focus ourselves on the present as we eat and drink and work. May we see and know these as gifts from you. As we share life with our friends and families, as we care for others, as we remember you, may we find meaning and purpose in our lives and in the world. And Lord, if anyone here is struggling to know that right now, I just want to pray a special blessing on them through your spirit. Would you hold them, comfort them, and enable them to live the full and abundant life you promised us in Jesus. Amen. So we sing our final hymn. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name.
Sun comes up, the sun comes up, it's
Shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you.